Hi, this is Ashley Willcott. Welcome to my very first podcast. I am currently a judge as well as a trial attorney and have been one for a number of years. And I like to analyze different child welfare cases and trial skills. So my first podcast, we are going to analyze a story that no doubt all of you are familiar with. And it is about the Parkland school shooter, Nicholas Cruz. And as many of you might have seen, he has an interrogation, portions of which have been released, and we are now going to discuss and analyze, especially in comparison with the piece that he posted prior to his going on the shooting rampage at the school, killing 17 students. On February 14th of 2018, just this past Valentine's Day, note it was Valentine's Day, high school students in Parkland, Florida, and teachers were terrified and traumatized when Nicholas Cruz opened fire, killing 17 students and teachers and injuring another 17 individuals.
Holy.
Immediately following the massacre, survivors detailed in interviews their disbelief and fear of what happened when Nicholas Cruz came in that school wielding guns.
I was in the freshman building, first floor, and he went up and down the hallway, just banging and shooting into the classrooms. He shot through my door and broke the window.
The dude pulled the fire drill. We went outside. Boom, 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 boom. We heard a gunshot. I thought it was firecrackers, but after I heard the last shot, I was like, oh, no, I'm out. I ran back to my classroom, told my teacher, I think that's a shooting. I think we should go in the back and hide.
All the kids came inside the rooms and everything. There were teachers pulling us in and telling us to, like, get in the rooms and be quiet. And so, yeah, we were just okay, I guess, so.
And how are you two related?
It's my mom.
Mom, how did you feel to hug yourself?
Oh my God, you don't understand. This is so, oh, what a joy. Oh, it's such a joy and everything. I just hope all the other kids are okay. And oh my God.
My best friend was actually locked in a closet for a while. And I was really nervous because she wasn't answering me at first. But I think she's okay now. She told me she got in touch with police officers.
Well, there was a fire drill, and what had happened was we heard shots, and not a lot of us knew what they were from, and I had seen someone go down, and I told one of my friends, and they didn't believe me, and then we heard more shots. When I saw them lying on the ground, it was after we had been escorted, and they were dead. They were covered up, and they were dead.
This should be an open and shut case. He was caught as the shooter. He's been identified as the shooter by multiple eyewitnesses, and there's no doubt he did it. He took these weapons. He entered the school. He massacred 17 people and hurt 17 other people. So why is the recently released portions of the interrogation of him in custody so important and relevant? Why does the state have to spend money prosecuting him, Nicholas Cruz, in this case when we already know that he did it? The answer, of course, lies in our constitutional rights, and specifically the Sixth Amendment right of a criminal defendant to a public trial, as well as their right to a lawyer and the right to an impartial jury. Now, there's some other rights that are discussed in the Sixth Amendment, but those are the main ones that I want to focus on today. So he is exercising his fundamental core constitutional rights, which are afforded all citizens of the United States. So again, this is how the interrogation is going to be used. How specifically does it factor in? And that answer is twofold. First, as evidenced by the prosecution that he did it in trying to convict him of these heinous crimes. Second, by the defense to try to prove the infamous insanity defense. So authorities have released more than 10 hours of the interrogation of Nicholas Cruz. Now, aspects, parts of it have been removed before it was released, and those are presumably confessions, probably to be used by the prosecution at trial. But I want to turn to some aspects of the interrogation and focus on a few different pieces of it. Next, I'm going to play for you a clip, and here's what you're going to hear. You can literally hear Nicholas Cruz punching himself in the head in this part of the interrogation. He talks about demons and voices and telling him to kill and destroy. And then at the end of the clip, you see his brother giving him a hug. And as a 15-year-old who's helping me analyze aspects of this case today, described him as a sad sack.
How you doing, Nick? You all right?
Demons. You're talking about demons. What are the demons?
The voices.
Well, tell me about it. What are the voices about?
It's another voice, the evil side.
Okay. And how long has that voice been going on?
Years.
Okay. When did it start, you think? When your mom passed?
It started getting worse when my mom passed.
Okay.
Did you ever tell anybody about the voice? Never? And what does the voice say to you?
Burn, kill, destroy.
Okay, burn, kill, destroy what?
Anything.
Now, you talked about demons, yeah. And then you talk about the voice.
Yeah, that's a demon. The voice is the demon.
The voice is the demon. So there's not two...
The person, whoever it is.
Does it have a name?
No name.
On any given week, how many times do you think you hear the voice? All the time?
Once every day.
Once every day? Morning, afternoon, night? Always the same time?
Usually in the afternoon.
All right.
Okay. You're my brother. I love you. I want you to...
Can I hug him?
Yeah.
I know how you grow up. I know that people don't understand you, but I understand you.
Now, instead of playing the rest of the interrogation, which again lasts more than 10 hours, I'm going to talk to you about different parts of the interrogation that I personally have listened to and things that are revealed about Nicholas Cruz. First of all, on two different occasions, he talks about killing of animals, and that began when he was only 13 years old. He describes a fight at school, and it was either around or about a girl at school, and he was very embarrassed. So he described how after that event, he started failing classes and eventually got kicked out of the school and had to go to another school because he failed out. He continues to talk about the voices and demons in his head at least once a day, telling him to do things. He describes how he has been a cutter and cut on him. And if any of you don't know what that is, it's a condition where individuals cut and hurt themselves. So he describes that action. He describes how he's been depressed. So here's the big question, and this is what it's going to pivot around for the trial for Nicholas Cruz. Are all of those things that he said during his interrogation enough to prove the insanity defense? So let's break down insanity defense in the state of Florida. First of all, in Florida, all people are presumed to be sane. The only way a defendant can get off on insanity defense is if the defendant can prove that they're not sane by clear and convincing evidence. So clear and convincing is a pretty high standard. Remember, that's more than probable cause, less than beyond a reasonable doubt. But they also must show that the insanity existed at the time the crime occurred. So I would submit that all of his talk about being depressed before and cutting that happened before and killing of animals that happened before and the actual voices that he heard, that's not going to be enough in and of itself The defense must show that that actually existed and happened at the time the crime occurred. So they could also try to say it was temporary insanity. In either of these cases, they would have to be able to show either number one, that Nicholas Cruz was not able to understand his consequences of his actions, or number two, that he understood the consequences of his actions, but he was not able to tell that what he was doing was wrong. I will tell you this, listeners. Every one of the things that Nicholas Cruz raises during his interrogation should have been a red flag for someone. Every single thing that he described, whether it was how he was feeling, like depressed, or whether it was something he was doing, like cutting himself, someone knew about those things. And every one of those things is something that should have been reported, or even more importantly, he should have gotten help. If that didn't occur, this child was failed, and this could have been prevented potentially if he got mental health help for all of these things that he was going through and experiencing. Now, next, let's juxtapose his interrogation against a clip that he made on his cell phone prior to the shooting. Listen to this.
Hello, my name is Nick, and I'm going to be the next school shooter of 2018. My goal is at least 20 people with an AR-15 and a couple trace rounds. I think I can get done. Location is Stone Douglas in Parkland, Florida. It's going to be a big event. And when you see me on the news, you'll all know who I am. You're all going to die. Pew, 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 pew. Yeah. Can't wait. Today is the day. The day that it all begins. The day of my massacre shall begin. All the kids in school will run in fear and hide. From the wrath of my power, they will know who I am. I am nothing. I am no one. My life is nothing and meaningless. Everything that I hold dear, I let go beyond your half. Every day I see the world ending another day. I live a lone life, live in seclusion and solitude. I hate everyone and everything. With the power of my AR, you will all know who I am. I had enough of being told what to do and when to do. I had enough of being telling me that I'm an idiot and a dumbass. But in real life, you're all the dumbass. You're all stupid and brainwashed by these fucking political government programs. You will all see, you will all know who my name is. My love for you, Angie, will never go away. I hope to see you in the afterlife. From one day or another, you will end and we'll all die.
Alright, so here's the plan. I'm gonna go take an Uber in the afternoon before 2:40. From there, I'll go into the onto school campus, walk up the stairs, unload my bags, and get my AR and shoot people down at the main, was it the main courtyard? I'll wait, and people will die.
Talk about chilling. So, listeners, he made that video on the very day that he went on this shooting spree and massacred all of the 17 victims and injuring 17 more. I cannot for one believe that there were voices in his head telling him to do this and that he did not understand the consequences, or he did not understand that what he was doing was wrong when he made such a deranged video detailing specifically all of the steps he was going to take and what he was going to do. Please join me in future podcasts as I continue to follow this case, especially as it goes to trial for further analysis. Also, please listen to Nancy Grace Crime Online podcast that we did, in which I served as a legal analyst along with my niece, who is good friends with one of the students who attended Parkland and shared her experience with Nancy Grace on Crime Online. Thank you for listening and look forward to our next podcast.